If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
The season's over.
Ridiculous.
But hockey continues.
Thank God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
It's Blackhawks Live.
You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
It's Blackhawks Live, the offseason.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich, our first Blackhawks Live offseason edition. We gave ourselves a couple weeks to decompress. And then we had a big spot on the calendar where it was the NHL draft lottery. So I am back. Jack, you are back. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, but I see you right now and I miss you. How you doing, man?
Doing good. This just feels right. And my head is spinning after yesterday, social media spinning. So let's sort this out, I guess, the best we can.
You know, it's funny. Going into the draft lottery, I thought, well, I should say when the season ended, I thought I was doing a lot of draft research and I was kind of pegging, you know, you're kind of early projecting what next year's roster could look like, but it obviously is contingent on where the Blackhawks are going to be picking in the NHL draft this year. And so I was kind of like, all right, I'll do my research on the players, but we'll get more clarity on who they're going to take, you know, when we get the draft lottery results. Well, the draft lottery comes and goes on Tuesday night, Jack, and I feel like I have more questions than I do answers because the Hawks ended up falling to number four. And it feels like there are quite a few possibilities that not just the Blackhawks can go at number four, but it feels like all three teams in front of them have significant decisions to make, whether it's the stunning Toronto Maple Leafs winning the draft lottery, jumping up from number five to number one after having just an 8% chance, I think 8.5% chance of doing so. You have the San Jose Sharks that jumped up from number nine to number two. They hold the second overall pick. And then you have the Vancouver Canucks. Poor Vancouver. They were the worst team all season long. They fall from number one to number three. And the Blackhawks are sitting there at number four. And so what was your reaction, Jack, when you saw the Blackhawks fall? It was kind of weird because it was like in real time, I felt it was a little demoralizing. And then like as time went on, you're like, okay, this isn't as bad as we're making it out to be.
Spot on. That's how I was feeling. I was not happy when I saw them drop, and I know that was the most likely thing to happen. I think it does hurt that San Jose jumped them because there's that rivalry we've talked about throughout the year, kind of with the two young teams. But when you look at the teams that moved in front of the Hawks, there's some defense needy teams and. The past few drafts, some wingers have fallen, so it's going to be weird, like you said. And I think the Hawks just have everything open right now. They could trade it, they could stay, they can maybe try to move up. And just with them falling, it just seems like Kyle Davidson just has it wide open right now. And it's going to be a really interesting six or so weeks until the draft when we start to get answers because. You would think the Hawks want to go offense, but there's a lot of good defensemen, and you don't know what the teams are going to do in front of you. But a lot of questions that we hopefully will get answers to soon. But it did seem demoralizing. But then you see all these guys mock drafts, and it's all over the board. So it's kind of a little exciting, but a lot of questions coming up here.
Yeah, this feels as unpredictable a draft mm-hmm. as I've potentially been a part of over the last couple years, because you see some early mock draft additions, and even going back to, let's just rewind to the beginning of the season, Corey Pronman of The Athletic, he's like their prominent draft expert. Like if you look at what his board was at the beginning of the season to what it was pre-World Juniors in December, then what it was post-World Juniors in January, than what it was, you know, post playoffs, where it was right. Like the frozen, you know, college playoffs, you have the junior playoffs, and then I'm sure we're going to get another addition, you know, going into the NHL draft. So a lot can change between now and then. Like at one point, it was like McKenna was at the top, and Tynan Lawrence was at the top, and Stenberg is at the top, Chase Reed is at, like, there have been so many, there's been so much movement near the top of the draft board, and it makes me feel like there could be differing draft boards in the NHL among NHL teams this year that are picking at the top. And that's what makes this draft very fascinating because, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs get the number one overall pick. They're sitting there thinking, you know, do we take the slam dunk in Gavin McKenna? Do we trade out of it? Do we move back and accumulate more assets because they have two first round picks that are going to be in 2027 and 2028 that are now going to be going to Boston and Philadelphia? So they don't have their, like, do they have to restock their pipeline? Then you get to number two, you have the San Jose Sharks that if you look at their recent draft history, Jack, their first round picks for San Jose, let me just go through them. Last year, second overall, it was Michael Misa, forward. Prior to that, Macklin Celebrini, number one overall, forward. You look at the, in that same draft, they had the number 33 overall pick, which was basically two spots into the second round. They draft Igor Chernyshov, who is a forward. Then you go to the 2023 draft. So, you know, going back from 25, 24, 23, they draft Will Smith, number four overall. He's a forward. They had a second first round pick, number 26 overall. They draft Quinton Musty, forward. And then you look at the 2021 draft. They take William Eklund at seven overall. He is a forward. The one defenseman that they have taken in the first round over those years was Sam Dickinson, who was 11th overall in 2024. But watching Dickinson this year, he certainly went through a lot of growing pains and didn't necessarily instill confidence in San Jose that he can be, you know, a 25 plus minute a night player going into next year. Like, there, he's still going to go through some growing pains. And then you add in the fact that Colin Graf, who played almost half of his minutes, half of Macklin Celebrini's minutes came with Colin Graf on his wing. And Colin Graf is a young player, but he was undrafted. So he seems to have carved out a role there with San Jose. So if you're the Sharks sitting there at number two and Gavin McKenna goes number one, I guess you would think that they would take Ivar Stenberg because he's just the next best player. Right. But then you look at their organizational depth chart and you're like, my goodness, do they desperately need a defenseman? So they have an option there. And then you go to Vancouver and we'll see how one and two shakes out. But the Vancouver Canucks, you assume that if San Jose ends up taking the best available defenseman, whether it's Chase Reed, Keaton Verhoeve, whoever, the Vancouver Canucks are going to be in a conundrum of, do we take Ivar Stenberg, the best forward, or do they take Caleb Malhotra, who is quickly rising on draft boards and has a tie to, you know, his dad is the HL head coach for the Vancouver Canucks. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
It seems like, and I think I saw some people on social media yesterday saying, the draft's going to start at two with what San Jose does, because if they go defenseman, then you got the two forwards right there for the next two teams. And if you're the Hawks, at least from my perspective, you're hoping maybe they go with the defenseman so they can those forwards are, you might have a chance at Malhotra or Stenberg if they fall. So it did seem like when they got fourth, it was like, we're out on Stenberg, and then everyone starts putting out their mocks, and it's like, oh, a lot of these guys have Stenberg going fourth. So it will be interesting to see how that goes. And then if those two guys are off, do they just go best player available? I know Mike Greer, the San Jose Sharks GM, said yesterday, I think they interviewed him right after they won the second drawing, which was the second pick. And he said, we'll go best player available. And I guess that depends on their board, but to everybody else, that's Stenberg. But they, like you said, they desperately need a defenseman. And then I think I read earlier today, I think they have, two defensemen under contract after this year? So they really do need a defenseman. But when you look at Celebrini and Stenberg, or if Stenberg somehow goes one, Celebrini and McKenna, it's I think it'd be hard for them to pass it up. But it is interesting. And in the Hawks' case, it is nice that those teams do need defensemen if they're looking at the forward position. But I think... the seasons with Artem Levchinov and Sam Rinzel, I think, do open the door for them looking at a defenseman if they just want to have Levchinov and Rinzel, and then maybe they get a Chase Reed on the right side too, and then they're just like, all right, we got these three guys. A couple of them might hit, one of them might hit, but we're just going to stockpile that way. But I wish I could be in their war room, I guess, where they have the board to see what they think of all these guys. Yeah.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Yeah, because it really does feel like it's going to come down to how the board shakes out. Because let's just say we're watching the draft board and 1, 2, and 3 end up being the best three available forwards, whether it's McKenna, Stenberg, and Malhotra. After those three, there seems to be a significant drop off to the fourth best forward. And so at that point, if you're the Blackhawks, you really do have to entertain drafting a defenseman. But the challenge of that is there are, maybe it's a good problem to have, but there are a lot of good defensemen in that range. Yep. But two of the, you know what, I'll say this. There may be four defensemen in that range. Obviously, there's Keaton Verhoef, Carson Carles, there's Chase Reed, and then Albert Smits. Maybe I'd put in there as well. Mm-hmm. He's a left shot. But two of the four are right-handed shots, and you can argue that Chase Reed is the best of them, and he's a right-handed shot. So if you're the Blackhawks, you're sitting there at number four, considering taking a defenseman, do you take a guy like Chase Reed who could be the best of them all, even though he's a right-handed shot? Or do you take Carson Carles, who might not be as good, or it could be, who knows, depending on how the Blackhawks draft board is, but he's a left-handed shot, and he then complements Lefshinov and Rinzel. That's going to be a dilemma for the Blackhawks if three forwards go off the board first.
Yeah, that would probably where they would not want to be, because if they were looking at that, like you said. But yeah, Reed, just looking at him and reading up on him, it seems like he's got that really high ceiling. And not to say the other guys don't, but it seems like he's got the offensive ceiling, and he's got a little work on the defensive side, but it seems like he's a guy that's going to drive offense, right? But you do have Lefshinov and Rinzel already there, and then it's like, how are you going to manage all that? And you look at the other, or you look at Carles, who's a left shot, who they could really use. And he's not as high offensive, but I mean, he kind of does everything right as a defenseman. So he might have a higher floor, not as high ceiling. And that's where the conversations get interesting. And I think if the three forwards go back, I wonder if Kyle Davidson tries to trade out of it just to be listening on what needy defensive team or what needy defenseman teams need or what they want would do to move up. I mean, the problem is, maybe not the problem, but like a reason with trading back is they have so many picks, right? And they have so many guys in. It's if they move back and get more picks, it just seems like where are all these guys going to go, right? This, to me, it feels like this is where maybe they would want to try to trade up with San Jose, or where they would try to, I don't know if they could go all the way up to one with Toronto, but, or maybe you package it all and there's a player way off the board that they're not even going to pick any of these guys. They're going to package it and trade for one of the unhappy stars that we've been hearing about on social media with the rumors swirling. So I think if those three go off, I think it's hard to do a trade where you're trying to get a big time player at four if you see the three forwards go off and you're trying to pull the trigger when the Hawks are on the clock. But if they get that sense that maybe the three forwards are going to go off the board, then maybe those conversations change leading up to the draft, and they try to get rid of that fourth pick, not get rid of, but try to trade out of it and see if they can get like a proven young player. But with Toronto going up to number one, it would be interesting to see what they want to do with Nyes, or if they try to trade back into four, maybe they're trying to get a defenseman. It's just all over the place right now. Just like not even 24 hours after the lottery.
It really does feel so unpredictable. And I like what you mentioned, how the Blackhawks could theoretically jump up to number two with San Jose if the Sharks feel like they're in a dilemma where they really need a defenseman. Maybe the Blackhawks jump up to number two. Hawks have obviously a boatload of assets. Yeah. They have three second-round picks in this year's draft that they could potentially package. And then it allows the San Jose Sharks to, their decision probably becomes easier because they'll just move back two spots to number four, and they'll say, we'll just take the best available defenseman. Mm-hmm. Because if the Blackhawks jump up to number two and they draft Ivar Stenberg, well, then Vancouver is in a situation where Caleb Malhotra is sitting for them right there on a silver platter, and they don't have to wrestle between Stenberg and Malhotra. It's just Malhotra is the best, you know, forward right there. And so that's going to be fascinating. You mentioned San Jose to a possible trade back or trade up option for the Blackhawks. I think they're in a really unique situation too, because I don't know how much you've been following the circus show that's been happening with the Toronto Maple Leafs over the last 72 hours.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Obviously, we know about the press conference that happened on Monday where they introduced John Chayka as their new GM and Matt Sundin as kind of like their, you know, head of hockey operations, whatever his title is. But on Tuesday morning, there was kind of like a significant story that came out of The Athletic. It was Chris Johnston who wrote it, very plugged in there in that market, about Austin Matthews, his future with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And there's no guarantee that he's even going to be back with the Toronto Maple Leafs as soon as this season. Like, it sounds like he wants to see tangible improvement from the management group to surround the, you know, Austin Matthews and the Maple Leafs group with talent and like what that path is, but not just hear what their plan is. He wants to hear how they're going to execute that. And if Austin Matthews doesn't believe in that plan, well, then he could, as soon as this summer, say, you know what, I'm not crazy about this direction, I want out. Well, a couple hours after that story got published, I don't know if you've been seeing this Twitter account, this weird Twitter account that tracks NHL players and who they follow on Instagram.
I have seen that, yeah.
Okay. It's obviously a big, you know, everyone really knows about it, but Austin Matthews ends up following Macklin Celebrini on Instagram, and a couple hours later, Macklin Celebrini ends up returning the follow. Well, then, a few hours later, the Toronto Maple Leafs end up winning the draft lottery at number one overall. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is this enough for Austin Matthews to say, okay, we're going to draft a great player at number one overall, he's probably going to be my new winger? Or is Austin Matthews thinking, you know what, I have one eye out the door, I don't know how this is going to go. Maybe he's preparing the groundwork for a potential new destination. And also, what makes the San Jose tie interesting is the reason why I mentioned them following each other is because the San Jose Sharks hold the number two overall pick. Mm-hmm. So if you're the Maple Leafs and you're getting a feeling or an impression that Austin Matthews, it has one foot out the door, like he doesn't want to be there, do you call up San Jose if you're Toronto and you say, we'll give you Austin Matthews, you give us the number two overall pick plus more, whether it's Michael Misa, William Eklund, whatever that package looks like, because then the Toronto Maple Leafs would have the number one and number two overall pick, and they could kind of reboot their team just like that, while Matthews goes to a destination where he can play with Macklin Celebrini. It's one state away from his hometown of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And also, last thing I'll say, I'm long-winded here, but his former teammates, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau with the Toronto Maple Leafs, are two of the greatest players in San Jose Sharks history. So maybe he's got that, hey, what's San Jose like? You know what? So all that to say is the three teams ahead of the Blackhawks, like it's, there's so many things that could happen between now and the NHL draft that it almost feels like I can't wait to come back and listen to this podcast that we're doing a few weeks from now or like a month from now, because everything we say here might be totally irrelevant because it feels like things are changing on a week to week, day to day basis, honestly.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because then they pretty much can pick McKenna or Stenberg and then they pick the best defenseman. And you're right, that's just a quick retool if their captain Austin Matthews wants to leave, and that would be a crazy scenario. It just seems so volatile right now. It seems like a lot of teams can do a lot of different things, the Blackhawks included too, if they want to trade out of it or try to trade up. And this feels like, and just listening to Kyle Davidson when he's at the deadline, he said we can make a big move, we're prepared to make a big move. At the end of the year, he said that they're ready to make a big move. Even Danny Wirtz talked to us and said Kyle's got the runway to make this move if he wants to swing big. And they have the number one prospect pool. They have a boatload of picks still. They have two first rounders next year. They have a lot of options at their disposal. And that would be crazy if Toronto does do that trade. You look, it's probably McKenna off the board and then one of the defensemen. And then there's two forwards right there, Malhotra and Stenberg or McKenna, whichever one Toronto doesn't pick, it will be there. that might help the Blackhawks if they want to go with the forward, because those two guys would probably be there. But that is interesting. I mean, the Hawks could maybe trade with Toronto. We know they've been linked to Matthew Knies, but do they want to keep Knies now if Matthew's going to leave? It's like everything is kind of connected, but kind of not. It's just all up in the air. And I think Twitter has really been going with a bunch of different scenarios. And honestly, you can see a bunch happening and a bunch of different things happening from now until the draft, like you said, because it feels like this is one of the, like you said, one of the more unknowns. It's not like we have a Connor Bedard, he's going number one. We have a Macklin Celebrini, he's going number one. Matthew Schaefer, he's going number one. It seems like Gavin McKenna's going number one, but after that, who knows after that at that point.
God bless Craig Button, who we actually just interviewed on another podcast, and he published his first edition of the mock draft like immediately after the lottery show. And I don't know if this was, for me at least, after the Blackhawks fell to number four, you know, I thought, man, that stinks. But then you start to look at who the teams ahead of them were, and it's like, all right, Toronto, they're going to take McKenna. Then you look at the San Jose Sharks and you're like, well, D-man, like, oh, you know, Chase Reed potentially. And then you look at Vancouver and then you see all the reports coming out of Vancouver. There's a local radio host with the Canucks who's very plugged in, has reported multiple times that Caleb Malhotra is high on the Canucks big board. And so then you're like, okay, how high? Like, is he ahead of Stenberg? Is he ahead, you know, like, could he potentially go at number three if he's available? And so then you kind of like, you're talking yourself into, man, like, I think there's a possibility or there's a path that Ivar Stenberg could be available for the Blackhawks at number four. And so then, you know, I get home and I see a screenshot of Craig Button, TSN draft expert, where he has that exact scenario playing out, where he has Gavin McKenna going to Toronto, he has Chase Reed going to San Jose, and then he has Caleb Malhotra going to the Vancouver Canucks with the Blackhawks landing Ivar Stenberg. Well, then this morning, or actually early this afternoon, you send me a text.
Yeah.
And it's Frank Saravalli's top five mock draft. And he has Ivar Stenberg going number one to Toronto Maple Leafs, Keaton Verhoff going to the San Jose Sharks, Gavin McKenna falling to number three to the Vancouver Canucks, and then the Blackhawks taking Chase Reed. And so we talk about the unpredictability of this draft. A part of me was like, oh, Gavin McKenna is going to be a slam dunk number one at Toronto. Well, then you see Frank Saravalli, who's one of the most plugged in NHL reporters, and he has Stenberg going one. And Jason Bukala, who's a Sportsnet draft analyst, said if it was up to him, he would side with going with Stenberg over McKenna if he was running the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so, like, it really does feel like if the Hawks were sitting one or two, they could kind of not put their hands up, but they could put their feet up and be like, okay, we're going to get one of those two forwards, you know, one of the two best forwards. Well, now the Hawks sitting at four, like, there's so much unpredictability in the top three that it's just going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. And last thing I'll mention too, you talked about, you know, Kyle Davidson and could he potentially move up from number four to number two with San Jose. San Jose falls back a couple spots. Maybe they can get their defensemen and also recoup some assets because the Blackhawks are loaded with them and San Jose not as much. Well, then there's the possibility that Kyle Davidson was asked about this in his media availability yesterday. Can you trade number four for an impact type player? And he's like, we're open to anything. We're open to moving up. We're open to moving back. We're open to moving out of it for an impact type player. Now, he also acknowledged that's a much harder deal to pull off because you rarely see those types of trades happen in the NHL. And so I don't know if that's going to happen. It would really have to take a disgruntled NHL player that's an elite player on another team to like force his way out of that situation, but also pinpoint Chicago as the location that he would want to go to. So I would be surprised if that happened. But Davidson's phone is open. His line is open and he's taking calls if people or if teams or other general managers want to pitch him on the possibility of sending the Blackhawks an impactful type player for the number four overall pick. And maybe it's part of a larger package, not just a one for one trade.
It probably would have to be, if they're going to move up, it'd probably have to be a large package from the Hawks. But if you look if they're trying to get, like, let's just say they've kicked the tires on Matthew Nyes a few times. Let's say that they're like, all right, we really want them. We'll give you four. We'll give you whatever in the second round. Then maybe like one of their prospects, you know, that's in the pipeline. So it does seem it's good that Kyle Davidson's like, I'm open to anything. To me, trading back, then they just keep getting more and more assets. It's like at one point you got to start it, not like just getting rid of guys, but trading them, because there's just not going to be, it might be more valuable to the organization to trade a few of the prospects or a few of the picks to get that big impact guy that's going to run with Bedard. Because we saw Frondell playing with him a little bit, but then we saw Frondell centering the second line. I mean, he just looked good in general in his NHL stint. And so you're looking like, all right, well, with the center position, it's like you got Bedard, you've got Frondell, you got Nazar. Do they just go big on a wing? And if there's one available, do they just empty the tank? It's just such an interesting spot, and Kyle Davidson does have to be open, but I would like to see him be aggressive in pursuing maybe a big swing, whether it's moving up in the draft and getting that stud, or it's trading for a proven young guy that fits their timeline. But he does have it pretty open to him right now, and like you just described, some of the scenarios we could see is, it's like anything you can imagine seems like there's a possibility.
Yeah, I like what you said there too. For me, I think the Blackhawks are at a point in their rebuild where the quantity of draft picks aren't mm-hmm. as important anymore. It's really the quality of them. And so if Kyle Davidson sees an opportunity to package the number four overall pick to trade up in going to get the higher quality player, that would make far more sense than let's trade back a couple spots and accumulate more assets. Like, the Hawks don't need to do that and diminish the percentage of hitting on that high first round pick. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Last thing, and then we'll wrap this up. We finally got some clarity on the second first round pick for the Blackhawks. Yes. That they thought they were going to have, but obviously it was top 10 protected, and the Florida Panthers unfortunately finished inside the top 10. So they will have the number 9 overall pick, which means the Blackhawks have Florida's 2027 first, which is unprotected. Hawks are probably expecting that to be in the later 20s, because the Panthers are expected to get far healthier and right. have much more luck this or next year. They'll have their captain back. Matthew Tkachuk missed half the season too with an injury. So I'm expecting that to be more in the 20s, but unfortunate, because it would have been nice to, you know, to kind of get a bonus first round pick in that, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 range. But maybe it's potential draft capital for Kyle Davidson to use going into next year, where, you know, if the Hawks take a significant step forward and they're kind of knocking on the door of the playoffs, maybe that's an appealing first round pick that others could see or and use for the Blackhawks if they, you know, because they'll have three of them, including Edmonton's, depending on if that moves over. But yeah, that was just kind of like the last bit of business that it was like we were focused at the top of the draft of the lottery. But then you're like, oh, wait, we actually got to pay attention to Florida, where they're landing too, because mm-hmm. That obviously had implications on the Blackhawks positioning with that pick.
Yeah, now I'm just thinking if they had that ninth pick, then you're looking at maybe they do pick a defenseman four and then they pick one of the other forwards a little farther down. That could have been nice, but that does give them a lot of ammo. Like you said, they might have three first round picks next year. So I mean, even if they trade the two other ones that aren't their own or whatnot, they would still have a first round pick next year. So they have all this, I guess, ammo to use this offseason if they really want to take that jump and get someone that fits in. So a lot of options. I think I've said this a bunch. I want them to be aggressive. I want them to go after and maybe trade some of those picks and or trade a few of their young prospects or whatever the package is and get that stud, whether it's moving up to two or getting someone in the NHL. So a lot of options and a lot of questions, but I do feel a little better after we talk this out, after the high of, oh no, we fell to four, to, oh, we might still get Stenberg, to, oh, they're going to trade, but I feel a little better now that we chatted this out.
Yeah, it feels like there's going to be a lot that happens between now and the NHL draft. And so we'll make sure that we're popping on here sporadically to mm-hmm. make sure that we're staying up to date and kind of hitting the checkpoints as each one hits. But it sounds like next week the Blackhawks will have their amateur scouting meetings and they'll start to really narrow down the draft board. But this was a good welcome back podcast for us after a little bit of a couple week hiatus. So we're going to try to continue this all summer long into the off season and do these sporadically to make sure that we're talking and addressing some of the bigger news, whether it's the draft lottery, the draft, free agency signings, a Connor Bedard signing, whenever mm-hmm. that happens, we'll make sure to
maybe
get
it'll
on
be
here
a trade
it,
too.
So.
Maybe it'll be a big trade at the top of the board, and we'll have to figure out how that affects trade. The Hawks. Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe we'll have to do an emergency podcast. But,
oh yeah.
Good stuff. Jack, it was great to reconnect with you.
Yes, sir.
That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time right here on 720 WGN.